From Paul's book of Romans comes these words on what one must do to be saved in the 10th chapter, starting at the 8th verse. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And today's gospel text is always the same during the first Sunday of Lent. It is the story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus answered him, it is written, one does not live by bread alone. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, to you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So officially Lent began on Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday, but this is the first Sunday of Lent. So, are you giving something up this Lent? Chocolate? Coffee? Red meat? All meat? Somebody pointed out this morning in our class, it's so often food that we give up. There is a reason for that. I mean, we are supposed to, as we're giving things up for Lent, turn to God and realize that it is God who gives us all things and all the things we need. And what do we need? Probably more than food to sustain us. But some of you, if you got my email recently, realized that we have put a different spin on this now in terms of Christian theology. Instead of talking about what we give up for Lent, we're now talking about what we could take on during Lent. In other words, would it be helpful to pray an extra time during the day? To engage in the discipline of reading the Bible at a certain place or a certain time or a certain text for 40 days? to make sure that you're in a study or in worship during this 40 days of Lent. It still has all the things that giving something up has. It still requires discipline of us. It still requires self-reflection of us. It still requires examination. And is apt to leave us feeling just a tad less, what's the word? Gloomy, perhaps? Maybe. Maybe. And then we get these texts, which are gloomy. Jesus in the desert is supposed to remind us of the people of Israel wandering in the desert. They were tested by God, not the devil. And as they were tested, they were supposed to be forming their identity as a people. God was working on them to make sure that when they came through it, they would be able to stand together as God's holy people in a new land, taking forth a new idea of God and living in holiness. And they failed miserably. The Israelites couldn't live up to their time in the wilderness, to their testing. Every time you turn around when you're reading the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, they're grumbling about something. They're complaining. Oh, Lord, we have no food. God sends them manna. And they say, oh, Lord, we have this food. It's only manna. He sends them birds. They say, oh, Lord, you send us birds to eat. We don't like the birds. God gives them birds until they're sick, literally. So they stop griping for a while. And then about three chapters later, you hear them going, oh, Lord, we have no water. Help us out. The Israelites always fail the test. Jesus, on the other hand, is tested three times by the devil, one for food, one for physical needs, one for political needs and power, and one for the possibility to bring salvation to all humankind. And the temptation is right before him. Jesus knows well that the devil is someone who has the authority to give all the things he offers, and yet Jesus says no every time. Jesus always passes the test. And that, my friends, is one of the reasons why I hate preaching this text every first Sunday of Lent. Don't you feel a little bit set up here? The Israelites, who are normal people in a normal community, just like you and I and just like we are here, they fail the test every time. And Jesus, who of course is the Son of God, well, don't make the mistake of thinking just because Jesus is the Son of God that he passes the test easily, that it's somehow not difficult for Jesus to go without eating for 40 days. Now, some people say what that actually means is that when the devil offers him something different, is the devil's not just saying to Jesus, you can turn this one stone into bread for yourself so that you can eat and be satisfied because you, one individual man, have not eaten for 40 days, but rather, because you can turn that one stone into bread, you can turn all these stones into bread, and you can have feeding of the 5,000s every single minute. Some people think that what that means when the devil is offering Jesus the opportunity to turn the stones into bread is saying you can have such a following by filling every human being's belly. Everybody will know your name. And everybody will be satisfied. Sounds like a good thing. Well, that's the thing about temptations, you know. Nobody ever says to you, name a food you really don't like. Raise your hand if you're giving up Brussels sprouts for Lent. Right? Nobody ever comes to you and says, boy, do I have a deal for you, a big fat pot of Brussels sprouts. Right? If they came to you and said, boy, do I have a deal for you, a bag of Dove chocolate. Right? Temptation is always about something that you might want. I'm sorry, Keith. He's up there turning red because I moved over there. God love him. You get the point, though. Temptation is always about something that we want. It doesn't make any sense for you to be tempted by something you'd never want. I can give up coffee for Lent from now until I'm 104. I don't drink coffee. It tastes like dirt to me. I can give up drinking alcohol from now until I'm 104 for Lent. I don't drink alcohol. All tastes like iodine to me. Right? But if you say to me, Lord have mercy, don't you ever say this to me, give up Diet Pepsi for Lent. We're going to have a problem. Temptation is about what we want and what we want to be. And here's really the theme of this temptation for Jesus, where we can see something that might be helpful to us, a takeaway for us today. Because the devil comes to Jesus and says, if you are the Son of God, .. See, the thing Jesus wants more than anything else, the reason Jesus came to earth, is to enact the role of Son of God to save all humanity from ourselves and from our sins. Jesus is tempted by that. Son of God, then see, here's why Jesus is able to resist that temptation, and here's why Israel didn't, because Israel is standing in the desert in a similar kind of situation, and God is saying, if you are my people, resist this temptation and live in the way that I am offering you. And they fail every time. Did you get that part? Because they don't know who they are. And they don't know who they want to be. And when you don't know what you like or don't like, then everything is a temptation to you. See, actually, the Greek word that the devil says is not if you are the Son of God, but since you are the Son of God. The devil knows that Jesus, from the start of his ministry until the very end, will struggle with his identity as God's Son. He knows that from the beginning, when God opens the heavens and says, "You are my beloved, with you I am well pleased," from that day until the day of his death on the cross, his life on earth as Son of God is going to be hard. And oh, how he is tempted to say, "I am the Son of God. I don't have to do this. If I live into my identity, I won't be tempted." But living into our identity doesn't mean that we won't be tempted. Living into our identity means we will be tempted so that we can form and formulate who we are and how we are to be in God's world. See, the Israelites missed it. But Jesus understood. Because he was the Son of God, he was called Beloved, in whom God is well pleased. May it be so for us as well. You are the Beloved of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.